thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzan Mazoz. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about Torah study. Studying the Torah is something that's accompanying the people of Israel for thousands of years, and the attitude towards it today is kind of ambivalent. Be with us. It's a touchy subject. We'll try to delve deeper in. Nitza, please. Yeah, I'll represent the secular people. I come from a secular family. We never studied Torah in my house, even though that we kept here and there a few of the customs, but that was practically it. And for me as a secular person, when I think about studying the Torah, I have this kind of a picture in my head of a synagogue and people that are usually dressed in black, standing with their books, going back and forth, studying in yeshivas, studying in closed places. This is more or less what studying the Torah represents for me. And the other thing that I remember is studying the Torah at school, and was another subject that we studied along with history and geography and math and science. So I also studied the Torah, and more or less when I finished high school, that's when my acquaintance with the Torah came to an end. And in my day-to-day life, I don't really use the Torah. And since this is where I grew up and where I come from, so I don't really understand, why do I have to study Torah? What does it give me in life? But I do see on my elder son that he's suddenly attracted to Torah. And it's interesting because he comes from a secular home. And suddenly I see that he takes interest in Torah study. And this interest me, as a mother, looking at what's going on. And the question that comes up is about studying the Torah. It says, you should think about him day and night. And I see that people that start studying the Torah, it takes up a large volume of their time. And I also remember when I studied in high school, there was this verse about adhering to him and learning from him. And so maybe we'd start with the question of what does it mean to think about him day and night? First of all, we have to understand that studying the Torah isn't the way it's customary in our times, and it's not what we understand it is. The Torah is the plan of the world, meaning of the entire world, with our entire universe and the system which governs our universe and governs us above time, space, motion, above everything. This entire system is called Torah. And so it follows that studying the Torah, it means to learn how the world's built, how does it behave, what is the program that controls it and is advancing us and developing us. How should a person fit into that program because he is as if granted access to that program? He can study it. And by that, to correct himself and to adapt himself to that program, to the entire world, to the general system of nature, where the entire comprehensive nature is called Elohim, God. Therefore, if we're talking about the true studying of the Torah, we're talking about studying the general, comprehensive, limitless nature, all of it. And to study Torah, it means that I learn the system, but I don't learn it as an amateur, that I find it interesting because I'm curious. But I study the system, I learn the program, its laws, the forces that are operating, all in all its nature, Hateva in Hebrew, which in Gematria equals Elohim, God. And how do I have to fit into this entire system? Because inside of me, along with being inside this system, there's also a kind of a component in which I'm free and I can correct myself and upgrade myself according to the system. And then when I change myself, when I change my nature, and I adhere myself, cleave myself onto the system, then I start getting into it, understanding it. I myself start changing. And what follows is that instead of the ordinary person that lives on this small planet, a very limited and restricted life, I'd even say mostly a miserable life, I eventually, suddenly feel that I can rise to the highest of degrees. What does that mean? That I start understanding nature completely, its program, its plan, the process, and the eternity, the endlessness which exists in nature. And aside from being inside my body on the animate level, like any other animal, I can also develop inside myself a system that would be like the comprehensive system of nature, and that system is called a soul that I don't have to begin with, but I can develop it by observing the general nature, by studying the general program of nature that exists in nature called Torah. So studying the Torah, it's not simply that I open an encyclopedia and I study, but it's studying in order to change and to reach a higher degree than the one we're on right now, so that I'll really see from one end to the other, into the distance, beyond time, space, and motion, into states that our universe did not exist in yet, and when it only started to develop. And afterwards, where we come to in the end, and I can see the eternal part in me that's incarnating all the time and how it's changing and how now I can actually help it develop in the best possible way. And also how I can influence the whole of reality, the entire world, all the creatures, and especially people, and especially the people of Israel, for them to develop in a good and nice way, in the correct way, instead of constantly suffering from the blows of nature, which forces us to develop by pricking us, which is called Derech Beito, meaning developing in due time. So I can develop in advance, meaning by seeing the future and by being drawn, attracted to this future in a good and nice way, and that's called the path of hastening. So the studying of the Torah, it means to find in the surrounding nature special forces by which I and the whole of humanity can develop in a good and nice way towards an extremely exalted goal, which truly exists above time and space, for us to achieve eternity and perfection, all of us. That's called studying Torah. Now, I'm listening to you, and I'm constantly asking myself, are you sure we're talking about the same Torah? Because it has nothing to do with what I studied. No connection, I agree. I never remember that my teachers in school talked to me about these things. Obviously. Because what you learned is what's written. It's written black on white. Yeah, you open the books and read the stories there. We'd have to understand what's written in those stories, because in the Torah there's Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod. 4 degrees of 4 levels of understanding the material. which is not like we study it right now at all, where we never relate to the written form the way an ordinary person of the street understands it, like you relate to a history book. Right. What it says isn't what it says. But it's a code. And we have to decipher this code. We have to open it up. And in this code, there are 4 degrees, 4 levels to understanding this code. And the deepest degree is the wisdom of Kabbalah. And this is how we come to the truth. Therefore, the wisdom of Kabbalah is called the wisdom of truth. What is this code? It's a code that anyone can decipher. But the problem is that correspondingly, a person himself has to change. He has to change his mind, his feelings. He has to open them up, expand them. And then he really discovers what it says in the Torah. So you said that there are 4 of these. So what is there in each of these codes? An additional development to the degree that we're born on and live in this world, like now. So suppose when I studied Torah, I also studied according to a certain code, as I understand. No, you simply learned what it says in the book. It's as if you read a different book. It's not what the Torah means at all. It means for a person to change himself and to understand what it says there in a more inner fashion. Let's put it this way. Suppose you and your son or your daughter, you're reading a book. Suppose they're 10 years old and you read them a story. And you read that there was a prince and he saw this young lady. There are many such stories. I also remember them. Fairy tales, yeah. And then he came to her and they fell in love and he took her to his palace and so on and so forth, right? Yeah. So, as 10-year-olds, what do they understand from this story compared to what you understand? You understand it as a romantic story where there's maybe a moral, and sex, which you feel according to your development, and they still don't feel, and the depth of their connection. And the parents from both sides, what about them and the people that are next to them in that kingship and so on? Meaning, they perceive the story in a very limited fashion. And you understand it much more deeply, not only more broadly, but more deeply, what's really going on there, because you know human nature, the nature of people, the nature of the man and the woman that meet, meaning you have greater depth. And of course, that the story I'm telling you and the example are very simple, but nonetheless, it tells us that a person understands the story according to his development. So we have to understand that, first of all, we have to develop a person in order for him to understand the Torah. And the Torah itself says that it prepares a person for it if he studies it correctly. Meaning, if a person is advancing towards loving your fellow man, love thy neighbor as thyself is the great rule of the Torah, but you probably heard this, then to the extent to which he extends his love towards others, the more deeply he understands the Torah, and then he starts feeling the reality in which he lives in a broader fashion, in a deeper way, in a more complicated way. And then he sees 4 degrees in it, where in accordance with the extent to which he achieves love of others, where the first degree is that maybe it's towards his own people, and up to the point where it encompasses the whole of humanity. If it reaches a state where the whole of humanity is as important for him as suppose his relatives, in the simplest manner, like his children, like he himself is. then from this feeling he can understand what the Torah speaks about, otherwise he can't. So who develops whom? First the Torah develops the person, or a person has to first develop in order to understand the Torah? No, he can't develop if it's not by the Torah. So how does a person's development and the studying of the Torah have to do with love another as thyself or love thy neighbor as thyself? Because love another as thyself, it opens a sense in us to come out of ourselves, where I constantly want to draw everything to myself, to study inside myself, everything only for my own benefit. If I come out of myself, meaning I reach a point where I start loving others, then by that, I develop my sense of coming out of myself, and then, this way, I start perceiving the reality that's outside of me and not inside of me, meaning that it doesn't depend on how I relate to it and how much I benefit from it, but reality itself, that as if I don't exist. Imagine, not with my mind or my feelings, that sometimes I meet people and I see how differently they think from me. But I come out of myself altogether, and then I attain the mind and feelings of the general system which the Torah provides me with. And then I start being in the godly mind and feelings, meaning that I am capable of feeling and understanding the whole of nature, which exists in the way that it exists. Mm-hmm. The system. And then I actually acquire eternity, the eternity of nature, the perfection of nature, without any interference which I introduce into it according to my limits, that this is how I'm used to it, this is how I perceive things, without my senses, without my five senses, without my corporeal mind and feelings which have developed in me as a result of my life here in my generation. And it follows then that the Torah, it elevates me to the degree of perfection and eternity, and then I no longer depend on my body anymore. The body might become ill and die, and I remain in the same awareness, the same mind and feelings which I have acquired, meaning the Torah is eternal, and it also turns me into an eternal person, an eternal reality, or it's called the soul. So let's say that in order to really reach the state that you're talking about, I have to read the Torah again and again. That's called to think about him day and night. No. That's not enough. No, you can know it by heart. I can even reach a state where I know the text by heart and it doesn't develop me. No, it doesn't. So what does develop me? What develops you? That special force which you get, which is also called Torah, from the word hora'ah, instruction, and the word o, light, that you get a special force which develops in you a perception which previously does not exist in a person at all, where a person doesn't see matter, but he sees the forces that are operating around him and that are operating inside of him. And inside of him, not in his body, but inside of him means in his new perception, which also consists of the mind and feelings, the mind and heart, but on a dimension which is not connected to his ego, to his corporeality, to his animalistic degree, to his body. And this is what the Torah gives a person. It builds a new vessel of perception in him called soul. So how can I now get in touch with that force that exists in the Torah? Only by being in the right hands of a teacher who has many other students, and he teaches them how through the right connection between them, they bring themselves to a state where the Torah starts working on them. Meaning the Torah doesn't change, but the method of studying is different. The Torah, it's the general light that's operating around us, a force. And in order for that force to work on us, we have to take on some special form for this force to work on us. It's like if I want to get a tan under the sun, I lay in a certain position, and then the rays, they work on me. So for this, you have to be in a society and to get into a special kind of a mutual connection with the other people, a connection of friends, to help each other. And it says about this in all the Kabbalistic books. And then, this way, we reach a state where from love of your fellow man, we come to general love. That by developing the sense for love of others in me in a very practical way, by that I come out of myself, out of my boundaries, and I start loving the other, and I want to connect with the other in heart and soul. And of course, we're not talking about any physical kind of connection, but only in bestowing in favor of others. To love, it means that, suppose, I know what Oren's desires are, and I provide for him as much as I can. That's called to love a person. And then, when I treat him this way, to the extent to which I relate to him in giving, as disconnected from myself as possible and as close as possible to his desires, to that extent, this general force called the Torah is working on me, and I change, and then I can really bestow something good to Oren. After the effort that I made towards him, I get the inspiration of the Torah, and I pass it on to him. Now, the imagery that you gave, that the Torah is like the sun that gives you a tan, and all depends on the position I'm in order to receive that light. So, looking at it as a secular person, suppose I know this movement, that I stand with the book. The movements aren't important. The external form is completely incorrect. When a person is standing with a book and there are many other people around him, he's not praying on his own. He's studying. Yeah, he's studying with other people. So what's the difference between the special position you're talking about that does draw the light and the position that exists in any other place? You think that these gestures, they awaken the upper light to work on a person? I don't know. I thought as a little girl that if I'll start moving, maybe something will happen. It's in order not to fall asleep and in order to accept these moves as something that can accompany me all throughout my life. There is a kind of a hint to it that you subjugate yourself, that you go up and down and up and down. This is your constant attitude towards Torah. Now, what's the connection between those people that stand together reading and the special position that you've described? There's a kind of a connection between... No connection. They also don't know it. They don't do it, and they don't know about it. What I described previously, this is something that only the Kabbalists know. Those that are truly in search of the upper light for it to work on them, that means that they study Torah. And the people that study what it says in the book, they're simply acquiring knowledge. They're not studying Torah. So what does to think about him all day long mean for Kabbalists? It means that a person is constantly trying to operate, activate different means in order to change towards love of others. To operate different means in order to achieve love of others, and from the love of others, he comes to the love of the world and all that. Why? In order to become like the Torah, like that upper force, and to rise to its degree. Meaning, studying Torah, it comes to change a person, to bring a person to the eternal, complete and perfect degree. This is actually what the Torah, and it says about it. Only people don't understand what it says, but it says about that, that the Torah has to lift a person to the degree of the so-called next world. I wanted to ask about think about him day and night, as it says. It means both in the states of Yom, day and night, Laila, and not the light and darkness that we have. So what is a person supposed to think about? In the book of Joshua, it says that keep this book of the law always on your lips, meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, then you will be prosperous and successful. So this action of meditating on it day and night, what is a person supposed to meditate on? Meaning that in the states of day and night, we have to try and advance towards love of others. From the love of others to the love of the Creator, there is no other way. And what is this book that a person has to think about? By exerting himself in the book, he's constantly aiming himself to the light of the Torah, where the light in it reforms. That there is a force in the studying, and he wants to attain this force, so that by this force, he'll start coming closer and connecting with all the people. And then he will come to the revelation of the Torah. I got confused a bit, if you can explain this again. On the one hand, you're saying that a person has to constantly aspire for the love of others until he loves the entire world. So there's love. On the other hand, there's the book. I read the book and hope that as a result of reading, as a result of studying, and especially that along with the book, that I'm truly trying to come closer to others. And the others, that's my group. As it says, b'chevruta o b'mituta, together or not at all. We have to be in a group. And then when we want to reach a connection between us, then the light of the Torah works on us and gives us a new nature. A nature of connection and love. And then, with that force, we start opening up the Torah. Our time's up, Dr. Lightman. We'll continue. Probably we have much more to learn. Thank you very much. Thank you, Nitza. Thanks for being with us. Till next time, all the best.